you know, you can tell that David's got some things on his mind. He's got some burdens. You know, Moses worried. Peter had, you know, worries. Peter had, you know, anxiety. You know, especially like Elijah, you know. He got smoked. You know, he did some amazing things for the Lord, and then he, you know, ended up getting depressed and really screwed up. And so, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, we all kind of have to deal with it, right? Everybody worries. You know, some of us have, not me, but some of us have better grips on that than others. And, you know, some of us are, you know, naturally resilient. But at the end of the day, we're all going to have to face that sin issue. And, you know, that's just really something the Lord's kind of put on my heart. And so we're just going to kind of look at that today. The main passage we're going to go through is Philippians chapter 4. And if any of you, like, can't hear me or anything, just start yelling or something.
All right, I'm going to start reading in verse 6 here. It says, be careful for nothing. And, you know, to clarify that before I even go further, I mean, I think it's kind of, you know, we've kind of taken the word careful and it means something a little different to us nowadays. You know, nowadays I feel like we use it as like, you know, take caution or take care or something like that. But, I mean, when you think about it, it's a compound word, right? It's careful, you're full of care, right? So this is saying, you know, basically, you know, be careful, be full of care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, you know, and this is, I'll stop right here too. It was this last Sunday in our, Lifeline group, Jim Daraskevich made a comment about how, you know, as a Christian, if you've got God behind you, you should be able to do some things that unsaved people can't do, right? There should be some things in your life that, if you didn't have the Lord, you would have never been able to do those things. And so that's this thing that it's talking about in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. There is a certain level of peace that only a Christian can attain. You know, and I think it's kind of interesting to look at that. You know, and compare myself to the unsaved people in my life and realize that sometimes they've got their worry in check a lot better than me, but I've got the source of the peace that passes understanding. I don't know, just something interesting. But yeah, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ, or through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Right? So I feel like this kind of off the bat defines what worry is. My laptop's going to die. Sorry, I just noticed that. I was like, oh, no, that'd be a problem. Which, for the record, you guys, we're definitely going to probably hit the 40-minute limit, I think. So I'm not keeping track of time. I can't see it. But we'll just keep the line open. And if we get kicked off, we'll still be here. What we got?
Yeah, it doesn't say.
It would give you like a 10-minute.
Yeah, I think it gives you like a 10-minute warning.
Gotcha. So, we'll figure it out. Okay, sorry. So I think this kind of makes an important distinction to show you that, I mean, worry in its essence, if you're going to boil like worry down or anxiety down or whatever you want to call it, if you're going to boil it down, it's basically a lack of control over your thoughts. It's basically a lack of, you know, thought discipline. It's basically your thoughts running rampant. We got 10-minute notification. So, FYI. This talks about how, you know, that peace that comes with the control of your thoughts and thinking on the things that the Lord says you should be thinking on. And he gives you a list here. He says things that are true, just, pure, lovely, of good report, contain virtue and contain praise. Those are the things that you should think on. And so as I was listening to a sermon the other day from Sam Gipp, and he went over this, and, you know, basically the idea is that, you know, you've got this list of things to think on. And so you can start
I mean, it's just an easy, simple thing to do. You can filter out your thoughts. You can run your thoughts through this kind of biblical checklist. So I think we'll just, there's just some topics that we're just going to go over and just think about and kind of discuss and look at in this way. We'll start off with an easy one, right? So let's look at Jesus Christ. Let's run him through this checklist. Is Jesus Christ true? Of course, by definition, right? Is Jesus Christ honest? Yeah, absolutely. Is he pure? Is he just? Absolutely, both those things. Is he lovely? Very much so, right? Is he of good report? Yes. Is he of virtue? Yes. And does he have praise? Yes. So, bingo. There we go. We know off the bat, Jesus Christ, he's a good thing to think about, right? He's something we should spend some time contemplating. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that is kind of a rare thing on my day-to-day basis when you think about the amount of times where I just sit and think about Christ, right? You know, where, you know, just out of the blue, there's no reason. There's nothing I'm doing. It's not like I'm trying to ask him for something, but hey, I'm just thinking about him, you know? What's he like? What's he care about? You know, how's he feeling today? Not really, but you know what I mean? How often do I spend thinking about Christ? So here, we'll take another topic and we'll kind of just start placing these things through. How about war? You know, should we think about war? Well, let's look at it. Is war true? Well, yeah. I mean, it exists. It's a thing. Is it honest? No, definitely not. I mean, if you think about it, if you look down through history, it's kind of funny how the good guys won every single time. You know what I mean? is it just? Not always. I mean, there is such a thing as a just war, but I think with the large majority or not. Is it pure? No. Is it lovely? Absolutely not. Is it of good report? Nope. Does it have any virtue? Nope. And does it have any praise? No. It doesn't. So, I mean, right there, it fails our checklist. and I think this is something, it's kind of interesting. I feel like it's really on people's minds nowadays, especially with the election and all the crazy stuff. You know, people are really wound up right now. And I mean, saying people, like I haven't been stressed about all this stuff too. people are, you know, it's crazy. You know, you look at prepping, right? I mean, there's just stuff not on the shelves anymore. There's just things that are gone. You can't buy a deep freeze. You can't buy anything. You can't buy guns. I mean, Steve literally says, if you want a gun, you have to custom order it and have it custom built. Like you can't. They're just out of guns everywhere. They're out of ammo. You can't buy any ammo. You can't, you know, do any of that stuff. People are really stressed about this. It's really taking a lot of their thought life right now. You know, I think we have a lot of discussions, you know. And, you know, it's okay to have discussions. And, you know, I'm not saying it's not something you can ponder, not something you can't consider, not something you can't think about. But once again, this is going back to the concept of, hey, this doesn't fit the list of things that we need to be thinking about that much. So, you know, maybe consider it, maybe ponder it for a second, but then move on to something that you should be thinking about, right? You know, we have a lot of conversations now too. You know, I feel like every day in work, there's a conversation about like, oh, you know, we're going to be in civil war 5 years from now, or, you know, those conversations are just, you know, happenstance now. They happen all the time. But, you know, it's kind of funny when you look at it, you know, just ask yourself, you know, how many things that you've been stressed about, how many stressful situations that you've been really, you know, have kept you up at night, how many of them actually came to pass? You know, think about like, you know, the nuclear war with Russia. Like, yeah, we got close, but it didn't happen. You know, growing up for me, it was, you know, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, right? And, you know, in Afghanistan, you know. We were concerned about that. We were concerned about extra terrorist attacks after 9/11, but, you know, nothing happened. You know, everybody, you know, 4 years ago was really concerned that Hillary was going to win, right? You know, but, you know, never happened. You know, it's kind of a funny example, but I think it's one of those things where it's just like, you know, I'd be curious to look, you know, someday if I could see the statistics on my life, you know, how many hours did I waste worrying about something that wouldn't even happen? You know what I mean? It's like, how silly is that, you know, to waste God's time, to waste God's breath on something that, you know, was literally just all in my head. You know, that was the closest it got to reality, was in my own noggin. You know, and it's kind of funny. You know, we like to think on war. You know, I always, this is me, Kenzie will vouch for it. You know, I'm always thinking about, like, how I'd survive a war. You know, AJ Patrick and I are, like, bros in this. I think every time we hang out, we, you know, we basically are talking about our, you know, our battle plan or our war plan or, like, if you ever notice, if you go to a coffee shop with me, I've always got to have my back against the wall and I've got to face the door. It's, like, my favorite spot. I mean, right now I'm facing the door. Like, it's kind of my thing. I like to know my exits. I like to know what's going on. I like to, you know, every time I'm in a movie theater, I'm sitting there and I'm figuring out, like, oh, okay, yeah, the gunman's going to come in right there. So if I, like, jump off that railing, I can kick him. And, you know, yeah, I've always got that. I spent a lot of time thinking about stuff like that. And it's kind of stupid. You know, Kenzie and I, as we've been kind of talking about how crazy things are now, I mean, the conversations come up. At what point does, you know, Finlay McClanahan become Finlay Mignon? You know, how hungry do you get for that? You know, it's, you know, it's all stuff that, like, you know, I've spent so much darn time thinking about all that stuff. And, you know, it's a wonder at the end of the day why I'm stressed, you know, why you've got worry, why you've got things in your heart that are, you know, taking over your mind is because you spend so much time dwelling on those things. And, you know, we think we got to think about them, but you don't. It doesn't make any difference. You know, another funny example, people just love doing this. You know, when we were in high school, I feel like Caleb and Kenzie, you'd vouch for me, you know, zombie movies were the thing, right? Like, it was, you know, Zombieland and Shaun of the Dead, and everybody had their, quote, zombie plan, right? And it was like, hey, when, you know, apocalypse happens, what do? You know, and so everybody spent a consistently long amount of time, you know, like coming up with their plan for the apocalypse. And, you know, still to this day, I feel like I have conversations with people on that stuff. And, you know, I realize that it's kind of goofy, but, you know, it's like, you know, no wonder we're stressed about war. No wonder we're stressed about all these things. We know matter. We, you know, no wonder we have all that anxiety because that's like we spend so much time thinking about it, you know. And, you know, if say, for example, you know, it's possible that we could go to war someday. You know, we're kind of overdue for one, you know, it's going to happen someday, sooner or later. You know, but it's kind of silly, you know, when I ask myself, when I think about it, you know, what's better, you know, if a war were to come, that I'd be stockpiled on guns and ammo, or would it be better that I'd be stockpiled on Bible principles? You know, would it be better that I had a bunch of guns and ammo, but was a ball of stress? Or would it be better that, you know, I had peace with the Lord and, you know, the peace of God on me that passes understanding? You know, if you got to think about it, if anything, it's just a reminder to trust in the Lord. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, hey, it doesn't pass the test. So we don't need to be thinking about it. You know, it doesn't need to pass our mind. Here's another important one. Here's another big one in our lives. Something that stresses us out, something that gives us anxiety, and something that, you know, takes up a lot of our thought life. It's politics, right? Especially this year, I feel like more than almost ever before, is I've talked to more people and heard more people talk about and had more people have opinions and seen more people get upset. And, you know, I mean, you guys all see it. It's just, it's been pretty crazy. And, you know, and so let's just run past, you know, is it something we should be thinking about? Well, you know, are politics true? I mean, I guess they exist. Are they honest? No. I don't even need to answer that one. Are they just? Absolutely not. Are they pure? No. Lovely? No. Are they a good report? Absolutely not. Do they have virtue? No. And do they have any praise? No. Should we think about it? No. Once again, I mean, you know, have a little nuance here. I'm not saying it doesn't ever cross your mind. I'm not saying it's not something you don't have to ponder. You know, obviously, you know, if you think it's your biblical and, you know, civic duty to vote for who you got to vote for, go for it. You know, if you need to research the politicians and figure out, yeah, I need to vote for that guy, cool. You figure out who you're going to vote for, you figure out what your stand is on the issue, and then you move on. I mean, what more thought do you need to put into it? You know, people get really wound up, you know, everybody goes into the, you know, got to watch the debates, got to get into the debates. You know, but if you look at the stats on that, no one changes their mind. You just watch the debates to see your guy, quote unquote, win. And then, you know, and then get stressed out all over again. You know, you spend so much time thinking about that stuff. But, I mean, what are you gaining from it? What's the Lord gaining from it? you know, and we spend so much time, I feel like, just voicing our opinions on that topic and so much time thinking about it. You know, how many times have I won someone to Trump or won someone to my candidate on my well-thought-out Facebook posts? You know, how many times, you know, how do you think all my outspokenness... Oh. Yeah, that was it. You know it's going to happen.
Sorry, it wasn't.
I don't know. I think I know where I left off.
Winning people to Trump.
Yeah, winning people to Trump. That's right. You know, but, you know, you think about, you know, if our goal is to be wise as serpent and harmless as doves, you know, when does all my political thought come into that situation? When does all my political outspokenness happen? You know, and I'm not saying it's not okay to, you know, voice your opinion. You can go ahead and have a flag. You can have a sign. I don't care. But I'd just be worried about a situation where I'd be more outspoken than anything else other than the Lord. You know what I mean? If I'm declaring the truth, you know, if I, you know, I think it's kind of interesting how Christians are willing and super excited to bear the shame and reproach for Trump. You know, like Christians love, you know, pissing off the liberals and getting yelled at and cussed at and, you know, driving around with their flags. They get joy out of, you know, taking the shame and reproach for Trump, but they don't get the same joy out of taking the shame and reproach for Christ. I think that's kind of interesting. Kind of shows you where our thoughts are at, where our treasure's at, where our heart's at. And, you know, and you can say, well, I disagree with you about that. Well, let's take a second opinion. How about that? You know, if you can know the Spirit by its fruit, then we can take a look at, you know, and at thoughts and see what fruits those would lead to, and we can see what spirit those are coming out of. You know, so let's just ask these questions. You know, has thinking about politics made you love anyone more? No. I swear to goodness, one of the main reasons I don't have social media anymore is just because it's like, I like people better when I don't know their opinions on stuff. has thinking about politics given you joy? No. I can't remember the last time thinking about politics gave me joy. Has it given you peace? Absolutely not. You know, has it made you more long-suffering with people around you? No, absolutely not. Has it made you more gentle? No. Has it made you a better person? Probably not. Has it given you more faith? No. Has it made you more meek? No. And has it made you more temperate? No. So on two fronts, you know, politics fails. You know, I got to ask this, you know, this kind of goes back to discipleship, right? But, you know, how many of you guys were really into and followed the election of Australia's prime minister? Probably, you know, probably none of you, right? Why? Because we're not citizens of Australia. I mean, it's simple, right? You know, and, you know, obviously going back to discipleship, right? Guess what? We're, as Christians, we're citizens to a different kingdom as well. We're ambassadors here, but we're not citizens. And so, you know, if we gotta, you know, if you gotta vote, you gotta do some stuff, that's fine. But I'm just wondering, how much thought do you really need to put into it? Next thing, kind of moving down the list, just kind of covering some topics that, you know, kind of everyday things. How about, sports? I don't really need to go through the list on that one. We obviously know that, you know, they fail all on all points. Not hardly worth thinking. You know, I think the only thing I've gotten out of sports this last few years with the Huskers is gray hairs. So, you know, that's about all I've gotten. You know, I think we can see that, you know, just thinking about that stuff is just mind-numbingly useless in a sense, where it's just, you know, Lord's not getting anything out of it, and all it does is, you know, get my heart rate up. how about another topic? Coronavirus, right? You know, is it true? Absolutely, it's true. Is it honest? Well, I mean, you know, there's debates about how, you know, what it is, but we know it exists. You know, I had to not taste coffee for 2 weeks, so, you know, I can verify it exists. That was terrible. Give me a normal cold any day, but, you know. The, is it pure? No. Is it lovely? Is it of good report? Does it have virtue or any praise? Absolutely not. But boy, does it take up a lot of our thoughts right now. You know? How much time do I spend thinking on it? You know, I'm curious if God had like a screen time app, like for your iPhone, tells you how long you were on your phone. I'd be curious to see my screen time report every week about how often I spent thinking about some of these things we talk about, you know? What's my report? Am I going to be embarrassed on Sunday when that comes out like I am with my screen time every week? You know, just, you know, just put it back down. Yeah, you know, and it, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, stress makes it worse. You know, I think I had it when I had my concussion, you know, and, you know, I was kind of getting stressed about it. And, you know, when I had my concussion, I had some extra anxiety issues just caused by the head injury. And so, you know, I'm sitting there and, you know, I start thinking and they say, oh, well, when you get the coronavirus, then you can't breathe. And so I start, you know, and then I read another article and it says, oh, you know, like your heart's going to explode if you get coronavirus. And then, so of course it's, you know, and I'm just, you know, sitting in the corner having a full on panic attack. And it, you know, it takes me a solid 10 minutes to realize that I was like, oh no, I was just doing that to myself, you know, but, you know, I'd be curious to know how many of the, you know, hospitalizations are just people getting really stressed out and working themselves up. I don't know. That's just an assumption, but, you know, just kind of funny things about that. You know, we get so whipped up about that, you know, but when you think about it, all of our thoughts on it are pretty useless and pretty, I guess I'll just say this, you can't win, right? You know, so think about it this way, you know, everybody's thinking, oh, we need a vaccine. Oh, we need a vaccine. Oh, we need a vaccine. Okay. Here's a vaccine. Oh, well, they rushed it. We shouldn't take it. You know, we gotta get the kids are in school. We gotta get them out of school. They're gonna get everyone sick, you know? And then, so they're like, okay, we pull the kids out of school. And then all of a sudden, oh, all the kids are gonna be dumb because they can't learn off, you know, remote, you know, you know, or, the shutdown's killing the economy. And so, okay, we'll lift the shutdown. And all of a sudden, oh, you know, the lack of the shutdown is killing people. You know, you can't win. Right? It's like this logical loop where no matter what happens, all it does is just trap you in this place where you're thinking about something that you can't change. You can't make anything productive. You know, people are like, oh, you know, it could have permanent effects. That's all right. You know, and Paul had a thorn in his flesh and Jacob walked with a limp. You know, that's all right. You know, ain't no big deal. You know, the reality is around March, we decided how we felt about it. You know, everybody made their opinions for it around March, you know, about March or April or May came around and you either decided, oh, it's a liberal hoax, or you decided, oh, it's literally the worst thing that's ever happened. And, you know, you pretty much stuck to that opinion for the past few months, but you keep getting worked up about it. You keep thinking about it. You keep, you know, talking to everybody about it, and it, you know, just fills your mind. And all the while, we've never gained anything from it. Once again, going back to that kind of screen time thing, you know, how much time have I spent thinking about it and worrying about it? And, you know, what have I actually been able to do about it? Nothing. Not a thing. You know, here's another thing that we think about, you know, what about the economy? Right? You know, is the economy good? Or on it, is it true? Yeah, the economy is true. It exists. You know, is it honest? I mean, I don't know. That's a hard one. Is it just? Is it pure? No. Is it lovely? No. Is it a good report? No. Is it have virtue? No. Does it have praise? No. Once again, we shouldn't think about it. It was funny. I literally just this morning was having a conversation with my one of my unsaved friends, and he was laughing. All of his coworkers are getting really in a fluster about stocks. They're like, oh, the stock market's going down. It's going to tank. You know, things are going to be in trouble. And he's laughing. He's like, you know, the funny part is none of them even had any stocks. You know, they're getting all up in a tizzy and, you know, whipped up about this stuff. But, you know, it doesn't even matter to them. It doesn't affect them. You know, I think there's a verse, too, that kind of explains, you know, our thoughts on this. 1 Timothy 6:8. Jesus, or they say, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So basically, God says, you know, hey, you got food? Yeah. You're not naked? Nope. Cool. Be happy. You know what I mean? The and those are pretty low standards by today's standards, but you know, I think, you know, because of our extreme, I don't know what I'm looking for, over-blessing. We have so much stuff. Because of our overabundance of things, it's kind of helped us to develop a sense of selfishness and a sense of entitlement. You know, we care too much about our comfort. We care too much about our possessions. We care too much about having fun. When in reality, you know, those are not promised to us. They're not, you know, something we're supposed to be given. The Bible doesn't say we're going to be comfortable. It doesn't say we're going to get certain possessions. You know, the Bible says, hey, you got food and clothes. Shut up. Be happy. Basically. You know, and I can verify this too, because, you know, there was once in my life when I was super poor, you know, right after the Lord had dealt with me, and, you know, it wasn't very long. It was only a couple days, you know, where I was kind of wondering when my next meal was going to come around. And, you know, luckily, you know, I never starved or anything like that. The Lord always, you know, provided. But I remember, you know, and to this day, the best tasting meal I've ever had, you know, was that McDonald's cheeseburger for my first paycheck at Menards in Lincoln. You know, the haven't had warm food in a couple days, and just, you know, just sit there and bawl like a baby eating my cheeseburger and at McDonald's at like midnight, because I was, you know, so thankful because of what the Lord had given me, so thankful for, you know, what he brought me through. And so, you know, now I'll down a $30 meal from someplace fancy and not thank the Lord for it and move on with my day. There's something about having so much stuff now, it kind of makes the blessings of the Lord less exciting to me, makes them less real to me. You know, and I've kind of got to a point now where I expect those things. You know, I expect having nice things. I expect having food. Whereas, you know, in reality, hey, if the Lord gave me food, I should be thankful for that and content for that. And, you know, Lord, thanks for providing for me. You know, and at that time in my life, you know, I can genuinely say at that point, you know, I was more thankful for things in my life at that point in time. And I was closer to the Lord. I was happier in some ways. Because, you know, you were going every day trusting the Lord, and it just was a blessing to watch him come through day in and day out. And that was just, you know, I kind of missed that, you know. Luke 10 is the next passage that I'm going to read, which, yeah, we can flip there. We're going to go Luke 10:38. You guys have heard this story before. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Right? This relates back to our passage earlier. You know, Martha was stressed. Why? Because she cared too much about things. She had too much care. And here's the principle, my main takeaway from that, looking at verse 42 again. "But one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Right? You will worry when you care more about the things that can be taken away from you than the things that can't. You will worry when you care more about the things that can be taken away from you than the things that can't. You know, and I mean, that relates to everything in life. Obviously, there's like, you know, if you're super obsessed with your, I don't know, house, or super obsessed with your Lamborghini, or super obsessed with, you know, whatever, it's easy to see you losing those things. But this even includes, you know, kind of more dramatic stuff. You know, I think you know, one of my main anxieties, just kind of, you know, one of my main struggles, I'm scared of losing my wife, you know, that's, it's like my best friend. And so, you know, naturally it's just one of those fears you have, when you've got someone you care about, you fear losing them. But you know, I should be okay when the Lord wants to take her back. If she were to die tomorrow, I should be able to be okay with that. Why? You know, I should be able to have, you know, that attitude because, hey, the one thing is more important to me than the things that I can lose. You know, the thing that I can't lose, Christ, should be more important to me than the things that I can lose. You know, and if I've got him as that number one thing in my life, you know, then my attitude would be, oh, great, I'm excited. She finally gets to meet her real husband. Oh, great, I'm excited. You know, he finally gets to have fellowship with her and, you know, fulfill the purpose that, you know, she was made for, you know, but what's the selfish attitude? You know, I'm bummed that I lost something that I care about, you know? And so once again, you'll worry when you care more about the things that can be taken away from you than the things that can. And here's one more thing that, you know, this will kind of trying to rope in some music stuff in this as well, but this is kind of an abstract topic, but hey, what's the, should we think about our entertainment, right? I think we spend an awful lot of time in America and just in general really focused on making sure that we are entertained at all points in time, you know, making sure that we're having fun at all the time. I used to love my mom's favorite phrase, and now it's Barb's favorite phrase, is that you don't always have to be entertained, you know, but nowadays we do. We always have to be entertained. You know, when we think about it, you know, well, I guess we can run it through the filter, but obviously we know, you know, it's our entertainment, you know, TV, music, movies. Is it true? Most of it's not. Is it honest? No. Probably not. Is it just? No. Is it pure? No. Lovely? No. Of good report? No. Does it have any virtue? Probably not. And does it have any praise? Probably not. Right? So we shouldn't spend that much time thinking about this, you know, the music, that much time thinking about TV, that much time thinking about, you know, XYZ, whatever our entertainment is. You know, it's kind of a weird place we're in history, period. And that we're always consuming content. And, you know, I'm guilty of this, you know. My AirPods are in my ear probably, you know, 24/7. Kenzie can vouch, you know. I like, you know, I think there's probably one of those things in more often than there's not, you know. I'm always listening to something, either a book or, you know, music or a podcast or, you know, if I'm not doing that, then I'm on my computer or I'm on my phone or, you know. We think a lot about our entertainment, you know, and to compare and contrast a little bit here, let's look at David in Psalm 119. You know, in Psalm 119, verse 15, it says, I will meditate upon thy precept and have respect unto thy ways. Obviously, we know that his precepts and his ways pass all our little litmus tests. Psalm 119:23, princes also didn't sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Psalms 119:48 says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Psalms 119:78, David says, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Psalms 119:148 says, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word, right? David was absolutely spent his time thinking about the Lord, thinking about the things in the Bible, thinking about the precepts. You know, compare that to our mindset today, you know. And the killer, and this is probably like, if I were to get a verse tattooed on me, this would be the one. I need a reminder of this. Psalms 119:113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Vain thoughts. You know, that just puts the nail in the coffin, you know. It shows you that, hey, the principle is there's thoughts you can have that are worthless. There's things you can think about that don't do any good. They're vain, right? They don't produce anything useful. You know, you got to think about it. It's kind of a weird abstract concept, but Just like you have physical time to spend, right? We try to spend physical time with the Lord. We try to spend physical time in our Bible. We try to spend physical time in church. We try to spend physical time in discipleship and with family. You know, we've got all those things we try to devote to the Lord. Just like we have physical time to spend, we also have mental time to spend. It's kind of a weird way of putting it. But here's for example, you know, how much mental time do we allow for the Lord? You know, how about driving to work, right? I'm guilty of this, and I'm trying to do better on it. But when you think about it, you know, I spend at least, you know, most days I probably spend up to 2 hours behind a windshield. You know what I mean? Driving to work, driving to church, you know, 1 to 2 hours every day behind the windshield. You know, how much of that time do I give to the Lord in thought, right? Or do I have music going in my car? Do I have podcasts going on? Am I talking to someone? Am I, you know, how much of my, that free thought time where I'm not doing work, where I have just, you know, some, I can think about whatever I want, how much of that do I give to the Lord? You know, when I'm mowing, right? That's a good example. I normally have my music on there. You know, I'm guilty of that. I love doing that. I used to do property maintenance. I there's just something about heavy metal and weed whacking. There's just something about taking like a gas powered death machine and like mowing down nature while you have metal in your ear. You know, it just did it for me back in the day, you know. But what I'm saying is, you know, how much of that time do we fill random stuff up? Like, heck, I can't even do the dishes without popping in my headphones or playing some music from my phone or, you know, and that's not even just touching on the times where I sit and stare at my phone, you know. It's not like I'm ever doing anything productive on my phone either. Like, I don't text people back. I'm just wasting time. And I think, I think we really are doing ourselves a disservice when we don't give the Lord any of our mental time. Basically, when you've got that free time with the Lord, and, you know, I've noticed, and especially, like, before I'm giving a lesson, I'll, you know, take the time to not listen to stuff in the car and just take some times to just be in the quiet, because that's just when, you know, my brain can start wandering on the Lord and wandering on His things. You know, you can start to really get some things out of it. You know, this is how, like, Zach, you know, everybody loves his messages, right? He's got some of the best practical application in his messages out of anyone. How's he do it? You know, and I've asked him before, and you'd think he, like, you know, every night stays up till 3 a.m. and, like, stresses and sweats with a concordance here, and, you know, you'd think he pushes it real hard, but no, he just, like, thinks of a simple concept, and then while he's working throughout the day, he just chews on it. And then, you know, a week of doing that, he's got enough content to put together for a lesson and spits it out, and it's amazing. You know what I mean? It's just that time when you're in quiet, that time when you're not consuming content, that time when you can really just in quiet thought and meditate on the things of the Lord, that's when He'll really talk to you. I think it's like the equivalent of, you know, God's given us fruit gushers and we're swallowing them whole, you know? You know, He can give us a principle or He can give us some concept, but we don't take the time to chew on it and really get all the good out of it that we can get. You know, if I had a motto that I would say, you know, spend more time chewing, less time doing. You know, if you're going to be given a lesson, I would say, you know, instead of, you know, spending a bunch of time like paper and pencil freaking out, I'd say, you know, get your concept down and then just like go on a drive with the Lord and be quiet and talk to Him and pray to Him and have a paper and pencil nearby to write down what He gives you. You know, those are the best lessons that I've ever given, or the easiest ones that I had to, you know, struggle with less, were the ones where I just let the Lord give me the words and, you know, wasn't trying to force it. Because I gave Him that mental time and that mental leeway to be able to actually give me things. You know, and it's also giving us, you know, it's kind of modifying our brains as society as well, you know. There's a lot of studies on, like, kids, for example. There are literally kids alive today that don't understand boredom. Like, they don't understand what the word means. It's not even me just being like, oh, young kids these days, you know. It's like, it's actually, like, genuinely, like, it's a psychological thing now where there are actually kids that have never been bored because they can always be filling their life with content. And so, you know, it's creating a weird group of people that can't handle being alone with their own thoughts. I don't know. This is kind of dipping into like music, but does anybody know the band 21 Pilots? You ever heard of them? Show of hands. You know the song Car Radio by them? Do you know it? It's one of their more popular ones. But basically, I'll give you the rundown. It's essentially a song about like the lead singer's car got stolen, or radio got stolen out of his car. And then now he can't stand being in his car because every time he gets in his car, he's alone with his thoughts and he can't handle them, right? I think there's a lot of things that if we sat in the quiet and sat and, you know, weren't thinking about other things and took the time to think about the Lord, I think there's a lot of things he would deal with us on that, you know, right now, you know, we've spent so much time not listening to the Lord that, you know, he can't deal with us. So when we finally have a quiet moment with him, it's too overwhelming, right? You know, all the doubts and all the thoughts and all the questions just come bombarding us because we've never given him the time of day to show us and work us through those things. You know, I was like, once again, with my concussion, I know it's, you know, I bring it up a lot, but you know, that was like a month and a half of just sitting there with my own thoughts. And so, you know, I'm really thankful for that time because, you know, the Lord dealt with me on some things and showed me a lot of things where, you know, if I was doing my daily grind and was, you know, had my headphones in all the time and was, you know, blocking them out, he would have never been able to show me those things. You know, and a kind of interesting topic here, you know, and this kind of ties back to music as well. You know, I think we need to learn from the Amish and Mennonites on this, actually. It's kind of an interesting thing. I didn't realize this about them, but it's not that they're naturally opposed to everything new, right? They're not necessarily like, just like, oh, it was made after a certain date, so we can't have it. Basically, when there's, you know, something that comes out, you know, a car comes out, the telephone comes out, you know, they'll look at it and evaluate it and say, hey, does this further our goals? Does this help our community out? Does this make us closer to God? Does that, you know, they, before they even bring it in, they're like, hey, is this worthwhile? And they're like, no. So they cut it out and they don't bring it in. You know, I think we need to do that with a lot of the content we consume, right? Like before we, you know, put a TV in the living room, do we need to ask, well, what are we benefiting from that, right? Before we put, you know, download Instagram on our phone, do we need to ask, well, what am I benefiting from that? Before we, you know, make an account on Disney Plus, you know, do we need to say, oh, I wonder if that's going to benefit our family and my personal walk with the Lord, or if it won't? You know, because our thought life, I mean, it's a currency, right? And we are literally, you know, YouTube and Facebook and Google and Instagram, their currency is your attention. So, you know, you've literally got these multimedia corporations that are fighting for your attention against this book. And so, you know, we got to be careful about how much leeway we give those things in our life. And so I'm almost done now, but this just kind of brings me to my last point that the Lord showed me. So the first thing he showed me, obviously, was that, you know, a lot of your worry is caused by rampant thoughts. You don't have control of your own thoughts. I spend all my time thinking about things that aren't the Lord, that don't pass that litmus test. And so it causes me issues. But then I kind of see it as there's a second side of that too. And it's a lack of faith and a lack of trust. You know, and we all know the verse. We write it down all the time. It's always, everybody's probably got it on a 3x5 card somewhere. You know, Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. But, you know, I think, well, I'll get into it more in a second, but, you know, we think that we're special, but a lot of Christians have made it through a lot more than we have, and they've not broken down. How come the Christianity today is just falling to pieces? You know, and I kind of see it as like this analogy, right? You know, when you're, imagine you're in Vietnam and you and your buddy are, you know, trying to go somewhere and you're both pooped. And so it's the end of the night and, you know, you got to make camp. And so your buddy says, hey, you go ahead and get some rest. I'm going to, you know, guard camp. I'll take first watch. Think about the amount of trust you have to have in that person to be like, yeah, I'm going to go to sleep. And, you know, if you fall asleep, we're all dead, you know. You know, if you fall asleep, we're toast. Think about the amount of trust you'd have to have in that person to be able to actually close your eyes and go to sleep, trusting and knowing that they've got your back and they'll be able to take care of whatever happens. Basically, you know, if you think about it, if you don't trust that person, you're not going to get any sleep, because you're going to keep your eye open looking out for someone to come because you don't trust them to keep watch. And, you know, that's the exact same thing in our walk with the Lord, right? You know, if we don't trust him, then we've always got to keep one eye open, and we can't actually rest and trust that he's taking care of the things that he told us he was going to take care of. You know, he told us that he's going to supply our need. He told us that he's going to be there for us. But how many times, I think, in our own life, and we don't realize we're doing it, but how many times do you go, "You sure, God, you got it?" You know, like, you try to go get some rest, and all of a sudden, "I don't know if you got it, Lord, you sure? What if something happens? You know, are you sure you're in control?" You know, how many times do we kind of doubt and not have faith in the Lord? And, you know, I don't think I ever realized that that was an issue that I had, or I don't ever realize that that was kind of a difficult thing to do until this, you know, kind of more stressful time in my life. Because I didn't realize that, you know, putting your faith in the Lord takes practice. It's like a muscle. It's something you got to flex, you know, and like I mentioned earlier, you know, when I got my concussion a couple months ago, that kind of shook me up, and I kind of, you know, I feel like every dude for a long time feels like they're invincible. But I had lost that invincibility, and it really, you know, it screwed me up for a while, and it kind of shook me up. And, you know, I had the Bible principles, I had all those things, but I was amazed at how little they did for me. You know, and eventually it showed me that, you know, hey, I've got all those things, but, you know, I've never ever in my life before that point had to put my faith in the Lord. I never had to trust him and make sure he was going to come through for me. You know, and I was out of practice. You know, we don't allow ourselves to get some faith gains in. We don't allow ourselves to get some faith reps in, you know, throughout the week. The Lord has blessed us with opportunity in our faith, the Lord has blessed us with opportunities to grow in our faith. But we often opt out of those. We often choose not to take part in those. You know, for example, like, you know, when I get stressed, right, you know, I'm going to micromanage it. If I get worried about something, I'm going to, you know, prepare, I'm going to plan, I'm going to do everything in my power to have as much control over that situation as possible. You know, and if I don't have control, then I'm going to watch TV to cover up my fear, or I'm going to listen to music to numb my emotions. You know, those are how we get around putting our faith in the Lord. You know, how often do we just say, "Oh, this is stressing me out. Hey, Jesus, can you take care of this? You know, you said you'll provide for me. This is stressing me out. Thanks, Lord," and just let it go. You know, how often do I do that? How often do I genuinely put my faith in him and then just stop thinking about it? Not very often. Real quick, I'm going to flip to Hebrews chapter 11. This is something the Lord taught me as well, just kind of looking at these people down through church history that had good relationships with the Lord, like Abraham and Moses. I just want to look at these guys. I'll start in verse 17. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that that in Isaac thy seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Right? We discussed this back when I gave that lesson. You know, that is a profound amount of faith that Abraham had. That he didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew that, you know, Abraham was coming down off that mountain alive. But if I was Abraham, I guarantee you, in that situation, like, hey, you want to know how to make sure that Abraham or that Isaac's coming off this mountain alive? Well, just not kill him. That's what I would have done. You know, instead of putting my faith in the Lord and trusting that he would have done something, I probably just would have been put it in my own hands and just been like, yeah, I won't kill him. I'll find a ram and kill it instead. That should be good enough. You know, in verse 20, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come." We jump down to 23. "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, right? This is where, I mean, I think this is the groundwork for Moses' being God's friend, right? Was the fact that, I mean, and we'll go through, he's got a bunch more, but he spent his entire life saying, Lord, like, this doesn't make sense, but you said this, so I'm going to do that. You know, he said, you know, he knew that if he stuck with the Jews, he was going to get persecuted. And he said, you know, I trust the Lord enough that I know that it'll be worth it. How many times do we say, Lord, I'm going to get persecuted. Lord, this is going to stink. Lord, something not good is going to happen to me if I do X, Y, and Z, but I trust you enough that you're going to take care of that situation. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, right? The reproach of Christ, greater than the treasures of Egypt. That's that thing. Remember, loving the things that you can keep more than the things that you can't. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeking him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned, right? This is that building of your relationship with the Lord where it's the rubber meets the road. It's not, hey, I learned your Bible. Hey, I cataloged your principles. It's no, like, I'm going to have to endure something. I'm going to have to, like, go through a situation that's uncomfortable. I'm going to have to, you know, try to relinquish control of a situation because I know that you're going to do what you said you would do. And then lastly here, I just want to end on Psalms 147, verses 8 through 11. I'll start in verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Cease praise. Sing praise unto the harp. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with the clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. And that's the last principle that I really just want to leave you guys with today. You know, when we worry, when we get stressed out about something, we rob ourselves of the peace and rest that Christ can give us, and we rob the Lord of the glory and the pleasure that he would get out of our faith in him. That's why worry is a sin. And that's why it's something that we got to really make sure and be diligent to cut out of our lives by evaluating our thoughts, running them by the Bible, comparing them with that list I gave you, comparing them with the fruit of the Spirit, and figuring out, you know, what's the point of thinking about the things that I think about? Why am I doing that? What am I spending my time in? And then saying, Lord, like, this could be pleasurable. It could be fun to think about sports. It could be fun to spend 5 years on Instagram. It could be fun to do all those things, but Lord, I have faith that you said you'd give me better things if I spent my time wiser. So I'm going to believe you. And so that's where I'll just leave off today, guys. Thank you for listening. And